Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Pijana Balava Girivara Dhari
Pijana Balava Girivara
Dhari Pijana Balava Girivara Dhari Nandana Vrajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Munatira Vanachari
Munatira Vanachari
Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivigacharya Sarada Sat Savangri Sisi Bhakti Hiranta Swami Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON FONGDA SHARA SHILA PRABHUPAD KI JAI NAMACHARA SHILA HARIDAS TAKU KI JAI PRIM SIKHO SHU KRISHNA CHAITANYA PRABHU NITYANANDA SHRIDAITA GARADA SHIVASADI GAURA VAKTA VINDA KI JAI ALL GLORIES TO THE ASSEMBLY DEVOTEES ALL GLORIES TO THE ASSEMBLY DEVOTEES ALL GLORIES TO THE ASSEMBLY DEVOTEES GLORIES TO SHRISHI GURU AN GAURANGA OM NAMO BHAGAVATE VASUDEVAYA Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3 Chapter 16 Text 19. Darantihi anjasa mrityam Taranti anjasa mrityam Nivritayad anugrahat Nivritayad anugrahat
Yogina sabhavan kim svet. Yogina sabhavan kim svet. Anugriyeta yat parai. Anugriyeta yat parai. Taranti anjasa mrityam. Nivrita yad anugrahat. Yogina sabhavan kim saed. Anugriyeta yat parai. Taranti anjasa mrityam. Nivrita yad anugrahat. Yogina sabhavan kim sit. Anugriyeta yat parai. Taranti anjasa mrityam. Nivrita yad anugrahat. Yogina sabhavan kim sit. Anugriyeta yat parai.
Adages.
Taranti anjasa mrityam. Nivrita yad anugrahat. Yogina sabhavan kim sit. Anugriyeta yat parai. Taranti anjasa mrityam. Nivrita yad anugrahat. Yogina sabhavan kim sit. Anugriyeta yat parai.
Okay, word for word. Taranti. Taranti. Crossover. He. Because. Anjasa. Easily. Mrityam. Birth and death. Nivritaha. Season all material desires. Yat, your, anugrahat, by mercy, yoginaha, transcendentalist, saha, the Supreme Lord, bhavan, you, kim svit, never possible, anugriyeta, may be favored, yat, which, parai, by others. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Mystics and transcendentalists, by the mercy of the Lord, cross beyond nations by seizing all material desires. It is not possible, therefore, that the Supreme Lord can be favored by others. Purport. Unless one is favored by the Supreme Lord, one cannot cross over the ocean of the nations of repeated birth and death. Here it is stated that yogis or mystics cross beyond nations by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many kinds of mystics, such as the Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi, Dhyana Yogi, and Bhakti Yogi. The Karmis particularly search after favor of the demigods. The Jnanis want to become one with the Supreme Absolute Truth. And the Yogis are satisfied simply by partial vision of the Supreme Personality of God at Paramatma, and ultimately by oneness with Him. But the Bhaktas, The devotees want to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally and serve Him. It has already been admitted that the Lord is eternal, and those who want the favor of the Supreme Lord perpetually are also eternal. Therefore, yogis here means devotees. By the mercy of the Lord, devotees can easily pass beyond the nations of birth and death and attain the eternal abode of the Lord. The Lord is therefore not in need of another's favor, because no one is equal to or greater than Him. Actually, everyone needs the favor of the Lord for a successful understanding of His human mission. Om Gyana Tirmanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshurun Tamyena Tasmai Shri Gurbhena Mata Shri Chaitanya Manu Bhishtam Stapitanyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadari Svaparantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Daita Garada Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vinaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before I forget, and I usually forget quickly, I like to tell you that by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, I have touched 3,050,000 views on my online preaching. 3,050,000 online views. And upvotes several thousands or even close to 100,000 maybe. But that's good interesting. And part of that is I've put a lot of dents to the origin theories, especially evolution. I don't see their prattling with evolution so much online like before. So in this verse, it's stated that without the mercy of the Lord, it's not possible for the yogis and transcendentalists to enter the spiritual world. It's rather difficult, actually, for anyone to enter the transcendental world. It is difficult. We have left there because we want to taste independence and to go back. Then we have to make right with the Supreme Lord. We have to get His mercy. This verse specifically mentions the yogis and the mystics, because like in other ages, generally, the aim of life is to satisfy or practice dharma, artha, moksha and karma, that's the word, yeah. Dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. Generally, that's how the trend goes in the other ages. Of course, not in Satyuga, because Satyuga, most beings were like Hamsa or transcendentalists. And so everyone were practically devotees then. At least the first Satyuga, we are almost on the midway of Brahmaday. So many Satyugas have come and gone. Satyugas, Treta Yugas, Dwarpa Yugas, Kali Yuga have come and gone so many times, really. But when Bhagavatam is speaking, usually it gives lessons for a day of Brahma. Most of the events that takes place in the day of Brahma. And so like if you were to think about the first Satyug, when creation took place, then it was very different. But anyhow, the other ages, from Treta Yuga usually when Varnashram is implemented, and it continues to Dwarpa Yuga. And then coming to Kali Yuga, it wanes, Varnashram system. But within the Varnashram system, these four Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, are very prevalent. And so people would pursue their Dharma, they would pursue their economic development, then their sensual pursuits, and then eventually moksha. So usually it's mostly the sages and the mystics and the sadhus and whatever would really delve more into transcendental topic. Srila Prabhupada actually explains that even those sages and so, they fall within four categories. Some of them practice demigod worship. It's called karma yogi. See, that's mostly has to do with demigod worship. And then you have jnana yogi, and then dhyana yogi. Jnana yogi is like meditation and so forth, wanting to merge with the Lord. And then dhyana yogi and bhakti yogi, of course, we know. And dhyana yogi is like meditating on the Paramatma form. And so so these are the different practices that these mystics and yogis would incur. And so so because there are so many categories, there are plenty different yogis. If we can remember some prominent ones, there's like Atri Muni, Vashishta, Vishwamitra, Kratu, Narad. So these are prominent, and these were the first yogis, and they were supremely powerful, but some of them were into different paths. Marichi, Angira, Pulaha, Brigu, Pulasya, Ruchi, Kardama, Daksha, Kashyapa, and then like Ramaharshan later on, Vyasadev, Vishampayana, Yajnavalka, Paila, Jaimini, Samantu, Brihaspati, Shaivana, Markandeya. All these are different yogis in the past. I mean, some might be existing now, but not much really. But so when Bhagavatam speaks about the yogis and mystics, it's referring to some of these here. Rishi Sringa, Dhaumya, Vishwamitra, Utateya, Shamika, Rishi, Sringa, Rishi. All these are familiar names. And many of them had lots of mystical powers. Maybe that's why the verse is referred here to the mystics, mystical power. See, because they practice the yoga system. When you practice the yoga system, then you develop so much mystical powers. The components of yoga, pranayam, the breath control, pratyahara, sense control, the asanas, bodily control, bodily exercises, yama, practice of nonviolence, truthfulness, niyama, worship, studying, dhyana, meditate on Paramatma, dharana, concentrate mind in the heart, samadhi, love of God or liberation. So these, and then these yogis also get like lots of mystical powers. Anima, they could obtain whatever they desire. Laghima can travel through the sky, Prapti, obtain any object they desire, Prakayama, obtain any type of wealth, Mahima, connect to any place in the universe, Ishitva, can cause happiness and distress to others, Vashitva, control other beings, and Kama Saita, travel freely at will. Some of the personalities, well, we know for sure Narada was one of them that master all these systems. And there was another being called Hanuman, if you know. Hanuman had all these mystical powers. And he can, reading our mind, we know that he has done so many super powerful activities. So these mystics, they were very powerful, and like Srila Prabhupada explained, they fall within these categories. For example, like you had Agastya Muni, Durvasa Muni, and others. They were actually devotees of Lord Shiva, not Vishnu. Jaimini and so forth, some of those were, well, I'm not so certain of Jaimini, but some of them were Karmakandi, Gyanakandi, and so forth, you see? So they fall within these categories, and so their aim was actually different. But Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yanti deva vrata devan pritri yanti pritri vrata. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. Then he says, Yoginam api sarvesham mat gatantar atmana. And of all yogis, the one with great faith, who always abide in me, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and the highest of all. Prasantam manasam hienam yoginam sukam uttamam. The yogi whose mind is fixed in me verily attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness. Jiyatmana prasantasya. For one who has conquered the mind, the supersoul is already rich, for he has attained tranquility. And then he said, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashtidya tatisidayi. Out of 1,000 among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So maybe for a moment we can look at those that worship the devatas, the demigods. Sometimes it baffles us really when the people are so inclined towards demigod worship. Like recently I went upstate New York. My sister is there. She gets up early and chants every day, like 8 rounds. She gets up like 4:35. But on her altar, she has all the devatas. All the devatas, and you dare not tell her anything, you know. But she's old, she's like 80, so what can I do at this time, really, you know? The horse has already left the fence, you know, has already thing, really. So devata worship is very, very prevalent. And and it bewilders why people get so much caught up. But it explained that when the Lord introduced pravriti and nivriti marga, he allowed the devatas, because the devatas supply necessities of human being. I think in Bhagavad Gita it's also saying this, really. You know, you all have to bear with me. My glasses are giving trouble, really, you know. Hear what Lord Krishna says. Ishtan bhogan hi vo vedeva dashyanti yagya bhavita. In charge of various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yagya, will supply necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So the Lord actually, it stated that Lord Vishnu had introduced this deva worship. And he did that to encourage the devatas, because they're supplying the world, they're supplying humanity different necessities, you know, rain, this, that, grain, so many things, you see. And so to pacify them, the humans do jagyas to them. But what Lord Vishnu says, that they should offer in sacrifice first to me before they offer to the devatas. See, he said that before they offer anything to the devas, they should offer to me firstly. But over time, then people completely forget about that part and they get caught up with pleasing the devas. And then, of course, you know that we have so many so-called pundits, really, whose business is to do as many yagyas as possible and get as much money as possible. Some of these pundits would boast that they have done like 20 yagya for a day or something, and each yagya they would collect like $300 or $400, some more, $1,000 and so forth. So that's good money there, and so they would propagate this devata worship as much as possible, you see, because they're happy to get that remuneration, see, and so the devata worship goes on, really. Yeah, there's two big community, one in New York, one in Queens, and one in upstate New York called. Forgot the place. Plenty of demigod worshippers, really. So much, really. And so that is a challenge to the preaching. But otherwise people are favorable. But as soon as you attempt to enlighten them about this devata worship, then they hold back a little. You know, they don't want to they don't want you to tell them about stopping it. Yeah, so that's a big challenge. And I'm sure in other places where there are Indian origins and Hindus and so forth, that kind of thing is there, prevalent. And of course we know, especially Lord Shiva worship is one of the biggest things, really. It's stated that this sage, Agastya Muni, he was a Shivite. And one time he went to South India. Listen to this. He went to South India in a Vishnu temple. And they actually refused him. They said, you cannot come in here. And you know what Agastya Muni did? It stated he converted the Vishnu Murti into a Shiva Lingam. You can imagine the power of some of these mystics. Agastya Muni converted the Vishnu Murti into a Shiva Lingam. Another time the devatas had a fight with the demigods. But this time Agastya was willing to help the devatas. They had a fight. The devatas had a fight with the Danavas. And what would happen, the Danavas would go and hide in the ocean. And so Agastya Muni, To help the demigods, he drank up the whole ocean. Drank up the whole ocean. See how powerful he is? And so these mystics, they have lots of powers. And but coming back to the point of the devata worship, it is very prevalent, and that would be one of our big challenge. Next to the four origin, the three origin theories of evolution, abiogenesis, and Big Bang. Those are the three biggest challenge for us. But devata worship is also another big challenge, and we have to learn how to refute them. And so then Srila Prabhupada comes to the bhaktas. But before I go to that, really, I want to quote another verse. Srila Prabhupada was speaking about the ocean of material miseries here. Anyhow, it stated, 100 years is too little. Half is sleep and idleness. The rest is unfruitful, owing to the miseries of childhood, diseases, and old age. This universe is immersed in the boundless ocean of death. Though grasped by the crocodile of diseases, old age, and death, he does not understand. And this was Lord Krishna speaking to Garuda in the Garuda Purana. He was explaining how the living entities, they are bewildered. And this was why Lord Krishna was saying, Bhutva, Bhutva, Praliyate. Bhutva, Bhutva, Praliyate. Again and again, he comes and goes. He comes and goes. Because he's taking spirituality very lightly. Most of the beings in this universe or in this world take spirituality very lightly. And so because of that, Brahmade is 4,320,000 years, within which time one is supposed to become fully self-realized and return back to the spiritual world. But because the living entities are so stubborn that day of Brahma would come and go, and they still continue their desires. It will come and go again. Bhutva, Bhutva, Praliyate. Bhutva, Bhutva, Praliyate. Coming and going. And again he comes and goes. He comes and goes. One day of Brahma finish, and another one comes. Then another one and another one, like that. And the living entities never take to self-realization. See? And so this is the warning Lord Krishna is giving. He's warning in the Garuda Purana, he's warning in Bhagavad Gita. See? And even within our process here, we have so many devotees. How many? Like we have 3,000, 4,000, whatever here. How many in class now? How many come for RT? Just a few. And if we were not lucky to have Prana Govinda and his students, then you would barely see anybody here, especially for Mangalarti. You see? So even it seems like we have to start to preach to our own men and women. We have to start to preach to them, to wake them up really from the slumber. This is Prabhupada movement, and our foremost duty is to support this movement and preaching. See? That is thing. And so every day we should ask ourselves what we're doing to help the preaching in this movement. What we're doing to help the preaching in this movement. How we're trying to propagate the preaching. That is most fundamental. See? Because Lord Krishna says, he who spreads this message is most dear to me. Ya idam paramam guyam. He says, so this should be all our main goal. All of us, really. All of us. We've seen, like Srila Prabhupada explains, like in the previous ages, or I explained in the previous ages, how dharma, kama,
artha, and moksha. These were the different goals. But as devotees, we can, Srila Prabhupada teaches the art of pursuing this goal, but still propagate this preaching. When we have Harinam, last Tuesday we had Harinam in Alachua, three or four devotees. When you have 3,000 here, even Alachua itself, you go to Alachua apartment, most of the apartment is full of it. You see? What is going on really? So we have to think, every day we get up, we wake up, we have to think how we can support this movement and propagate this preaching, help to propagate this preaching. Harinam, book distribution, prasadam distribution, and of course, temple programs, deity worship and so forth. But it should be all within our mind. Like I said, my main focus is online preaching. You see? That's one. Maybe a lot of people look at me, hey, you're not doing anything. But that's my thing. And then plus I still have my occupation, so many things. You know, I have to take care of so many houses and so many other things. If somebody have to take care of one house, is a problem. I have to take care of 5 houses, really. So imagine how much thing. And I practically do everything, electrical, plumbing, everything, really. See? So the thing is, we have to, despite all of that, we have to make time to help push on this preaching. It is important. And for those that are listening, we have to be serious. This is not a joke. We should not retire at 80 years. We should retire earlier and help to propagate the preaching. That is important. You see? That is important. How the movement... Usually retirement is like 60 and start to help preach. But let us say you have to catch up a little bit more, you go up a little more. But preaching is the essence. If we have faith in the Shastra and Prabhupada, then that is what we will do, really. See? But, you know, some of us don't know when it's time to retire or how long. Some of us want to continue working till we die, you know? Yeah, but, you know, I mean, we may say it's an individual thing, but according to the Vedic process, there's time for retirement. There's time for everything, you know? But we have to all cooperate. Prabhupada said, your love for me would be proven by how much you cooperate with one another and spread this mission of Lord Chaitanya. That is very important, very, very essential. Some devotees are, I mean, they're here every day, really, and it's commendable. Even Shesha Prabhu, who is not so well, but he's here every day. What about the strong ones, really? I mean, you know, Karnapur Prabhu, Pundarika Prabhu, Nagaraj Prabhu, and all these Matajis, every day here. But still, you know, the others have to back up. They have to come up, you know. There's a saying, knowing is not enough, we must apply. You know, so it is essential for us. And so the last point here was like, at least for this age especially, most of the transcendentalists now, for this age, would be like the bhaktas or the devotees. You see? And we're totally dependent upon the mercy of the Lord in all that we do, all that we eat, all that we give in charity. See, everything we do it as an offering to the Lord. Always think about him, become his devotee, surrender. See? All these are important. And so, by us making more devotees, we can able to spread this mission of Lord Chaitanya and fulfill the prediction that this movement would go on for another 10,000 years. So I'll stop here, really. I mean, it's I give you all a break today. It's a short class. You all deserve a break. Is there any question or comment? Yes, Mataji. And I'm sorry if I sound really harsh, you know, because I you know, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm, you know, we're supposed to. But most of you are here regularly, so don't take it upon yourself. You know, actually all of you are here regularly, so you guys pass the test. Yes, Madam.
First of all, what kind of japa was your sister chanting on getting up so early?
She chants on beads.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was just chanting the Mahamantra?
Yeah, the Mahamantra. Regularly, she chants, yeah.
Oh.
And sometimes she chants more than 8 rungs too, you know, but, you know, she's 80 years old, about, you know, I mean. So I spoke to her a few times before about the devotees, but I said, this time when I went, I was there just last week, the other week, I didn't want to say anything, you know, because at this time, you know, what can you do, you know?
Well, she's chanting the Mahamantra. Yeah. Now, all these rishis and yogis, they were in Satya Yoga, right?
And other yogas too. Some of them live for many, many yogas, you know. Yeah, many, many yogas.
So, like Angira Muni, were you saying he was a worshipper of Lord Shiva?
Agastya. Durvasa, Shukracharya, all these guys were backing Lord Shiva a lot, yeah.
So
and but also a lot of Lord Shiva followers is like Bhutas, Pretas, ghosts, goblins, you know, because like he showed mercy to the very, very fallen. There's something about it, really. I mean, you know, I haven't fully clearly understood this, but it's something like, you know, and so he has some of his devotees also that help him in that area, you know.
The other day, the devotee Radhika Raman Prabhu Maharaj was saying that the demons, they understand who Lord Shiva is, and they understand who Lord Vishnu is. Mm-hmm. So they understand it. So are they just paying respect to Lord Shiva because they understand who Lord Vishnu is?
They just take shelter from Lord Shiva. They're not clear in their understanding. You see, Lord Krishna clearly explains what are demons in Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 16, you read it. It's distinctly the demonic. They do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done and so forth. So it's distinctly clear. And so when creation was taking place also, even Maharaj was saying that, you see, that is what, in the preaching sometimes we have to be very careful. When creation was taking place, deity and the deity are sisters. But even though they're sisters, one is producing the devas and one is producing the Danavas and the demons, yeah. Really. Because all of these are part in the process of creation, really, you know? But their mentality and everything are quite different, and it's, you know, it's distinct. So we have to know this. Another time, another devotee was saying that the ages of the beings in the humans, in their ages is not clearly explained in Bhagavatam. But of course, Srila Prabhupada explained. In Satyuga, men live for 100,000 years. Treta, 10,000. Dwarpa, 1,000. And Kaliyuga, 100. Srila Prabhupada explained. But even though it's not explained in the Bhagavatam, in other Puranas, it explained. Last night I checked, just to make certain, I checked. This was the Mahanirvan Tantra. And Lord Shiva was speaking to Parvati. And he explained the ages. He explained the ages of the beings, and he explains the height of the beings. He says in Satyuga there would be 21 cubits. In Treta there would be 14 cubits. 21 cubits is over 30 feet. 14 cubits is over 20 feet. Then 7 cubits is over 10. And then in Kaliyuga, there'd be 3.5 cubits. So Lord Shiva clearly explained all of these things. So sometimes it might not be in one scripture, but it might be in another scripture, because the Vedic scripture is vast, you know. And there's so many things we can learn and so forth. Any other point? Okay, yes, Mataji.
Don't hold it to your point.
Thank you, Prabhu. I really appreciated your class. I heard the whole thing. I really like the part that you're talking about. We have to wake up all of us devotees. Yeah. And I like
Jeev Jago. We have to sing that every day. You know?
And show how awesome this movement is. And I appreciate your spreading it online. And I think we should all spread it online, because it's so easy all over the world.
Very good, yeah. Like when that Air India crash, right? That was a good forum to preach, because they're still showing the pictures. And so I would say, this is why we teach people to chant the Hare Krishna. In a serious situation like this, if you chant Hare Krishna, you go back to Krishna Loka. That's a good forum to preach. So like on Facebook, and so I would touch upon sensitive subject and add something to it, and that helps really, you see?
But time that is to the unite.
One, because one moment is all these people were dancing. These women were, you know, the short, and so they were dancing going into the plane. And next moment, within less than 10 minutes, they were all burnt, like roasted. If you see those pictures, how horrible it was, really. Oh my God. I look at those and at those. Man, you get scared, really. Really, really scared. And that is a good time to preach. You know?
Yes.
Yes.
What incident is this?
The Air India crash. It crashed like the 12th of July in India. As soon as the plane took off, within minutes, it couldn't rise and it crashed into, you know, a hostel or something, really, killing people on the ground too, really. But one person saved from that plane. Yeah, somebody's asking a question. Yeah. But that's a good forum to preach, you know. Okay. Shri, oh, you have a question?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Thank you for nice class. Thank you for all the preaching you do. The youth wants to preach in their own way. And I have heard from different youth that the style of Harinam is not the one they can vibe with. They can't relate to the style of Harinam that we have.
That is what Srila Prabhupada introduced, really. You know, they got to learn to appreciate it.
They are thinking of improvising it, not to take anything away from it.
Well, that's true too, but you see sometimes a lot of ego and false ego involved in that, really. But sometimes
it can be both ways. It can be from both parties.
Yeah. I saw Prana Govinda and his boys there preaching, and they were doing Harinam on the beach. Looked so beautiful, man. You know, and then all those people looking at them, and so that was so good.
And so does 6-hour kirtan. It looks so beautiful.
That is only for, you know, some people here and so forth. But when you're out there, you know, you're giving the holy name to the world. That's fantastic. I mean, that's good. We have to appreciate what they're doing, definitely. But yeah. I guess as they get older, they would learn to do what we're doing too, you know.
If you can present in a balanced way, it will be very welcome, because they will get inspired.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We have to inspire them also. That's important. Yeah. That's true, definitely. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.